Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is wishing you the happiest of holidays. And to kick off the season of giving, DraftKings has new promotions and odds boosts every day this week. Luckily for us sports fans, there's an abundance of action taking place this week. Football teams are looking to secure their place in the playoffs, while college basketball season is just getting underway. No better place to get in on all the action. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now. You don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code KSN. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. Mr. Greg, how are we doing today?
Well, Jim, it's another great day to discuss Penn State football. Let's get to it.
All right. Let's start out with our last look back at Penn State's win over Rutgers on Saturday. I still have a few questions about the game. I know weather was an issue, but boy, was that a conservative game plan they put out there.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Jim. I mean, it was clearly designed to minimize risk in really every way imaginable. That's not just the weather. That's obviously the turnovers, which didn't completely work the way that I'm sure Kirkshrock envisioned it working. But yeah, I mean, they clearly went into this contest with a plan that they weren't going to beat themselves. And even though they did turn the ball over twice, once a fumble and once an interception, you know, the defense was able to do a good job of overcoming that and making sure that it didn't snowball into the kind of problems that we've seen earlier in the year when turnovers happen. So, yeah, you know, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world, Jim. I think that if you're Penn State at this point of the year, you have to do whatever you can to get victories, get some positive momentum, get some things going in the right direction. And because of that, you know, I think that if you think a conservative game plan is going to earn you a victory, and it certainly did on this particular day, then so be it. Go for it. Do it. Do whatever it takes to not end up with another loss, as we saw during the first 5 weeks of the season. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where Penn State is at this point, Jim. Certainly not where we thought it would be, but at the same time, I think it's what we can expect here the rest of the way.
So we're talking about the conservative game plan. You know what you're going to get from Penn State now. But speaking of knowing what you're going to get, the quarterback situation, they split time more than they have any other game. Will Levis, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, I think he was in the game for 17 plays, and he ran the ball every single time he was in there, all 17 times.
That is correct, Jim. He tied he tied Kevon Lee for a number of game-high, team-high carries in that contest. And that's what you've seen a lot of people frustrated with ever since then, Jim, is that if you're going to give no threat of him throwing the football back there, why not just put a running back there who's obviously trained to play that position? And I get it. There's a number of different arguments you could make there. One of them being that even though Levis didn't throw it, he still has the potential to throw it. So teams have to think about it, even though he never pulls it out of his toolbox. And I get that. I mean, it's a fair point. I don't know if it's relevant when he literally never throws the ball, but that's one thing they're going to have to eventually work into this package at some point. But yeah, 17 snaps. I mean, look, I think in the short yard situations, he's clearly the guy that they trust right now to be able to go out and get fourth and one, fourth and two, third and three, or what have you, anything inside of that. So if that's the way they're going to play it, the other team knows what's coming. Penn State's been getting very good push when that Falcon package has been in it, and that's not been something other teams have really been able to stop. So, you know, again, if it works, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Even if it does frustrate a lot of people, then it's kind of the same thing over and over and over again. And not kind of the variety that we've come to see with a lot of these, a lot of these different Penn State offensive coordinators over the years. It's just sort of whether it's that play, and I know they didn't go back to the fades, but, you know, there's just been a lot of instances where, Jim, where they, they kind of just go back to the same concepts over and over and over and over and over again. And I think that that's been, you know, that's been with the run game, of course, but it's also been with everything else, you know, a lot of other play calls and formations and things like that, too.
I'm actually an advocate of using Will Levis the way they do on short yardage situations. But there is a limit, you know, 17 out of 17 times, and you got the sense that Rutgers was at least beginning to figure that out, that if Will Levis was back there, he was going to run the ball. Post-game, James Franklin did say, gee, yeah, maybe we should be passing out of that, but I'm an advocate. How about even just handing it off once in a while, not always have it be Will Levis running the ball. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball, Greg. This now is the second game in a row that the defense has been excellent. I understand this is Rutgers. It's not Ohio State, but still a great performance by the defense.
Yeah, absolutely it was. I mean, this was, again, there were times when tackling was problematic and, guys still don't take great angles and still kind of find themselves out of position at times. But yeah, this was far and away the best performance by that unit this season. There's no doubt. I mean, they got pressure. The defensive line was able to bother the passing and running game that Rutgers tried to put out there. So, I mean, that's something to make note of and remember moving forward. You know, the secondary wasn't exposed, as we've seen so many times in the past. I mean, they just smothered the Scarlet Knights from start to finish. And, you know, again, this is not one of the greatest attacks you're ever going to see at the college football level. But at the same time, Jim, you know, they put up some points on Ohio State and they put up some points on the road at Purdue, and, you know, they've proven capable of scoring. And so the fact that Penn State was able to really shut them down for four quarters the way they did was impressive. And I think a needed confidence boost for a group that is, you know, been playing with some guys who were hurt and some other problems, and, you know, so they're missing some guys, and it hasn't affected them. They've really been able to go out lately and do a nice job.
All right, Greg, next segment we're going to be talking about recruiting, and the talk with Penn State recruiting as it's been down the last year or two and along with this season. However, with that said, it's interesting to look on the field against Rutgers, and even the last couple weeks, we've been seeing freshman running backs or redshirt freshmen at running back, tight end, right tackle, wide receivers, Joey Porter on the defense. These guys are now stepping up, and these recruiting classes the last year or two don't look so bad now with the way some of these guys are performing.
No, I mean, but, and, you know, again, I think there's that kind of push and pull right now where how much of the success, Jim, is based on the fact that they've played two maybe not so great teams in Michigan and Rutgers the last 2 weeks versus whether or not these guys are really improving and really have earned the time on the field. You know, I think that with Caden Wallace, there's no question that he has been billed as one of their six or seven top linemen. And he's earned the opportunity to come out on the field, but some other guys have been struggling, which I think is part of the problem. So, you know, that obviously casts some doubt on some of the things they've been doing. But, you know, to your point, you're right. I mean, these recruiting classes have been questioned a little bit. They have been criticized some for maybe slow development or guys who are four and five stars kind of taking a long time to get on the field. And I get that. I mean, that's kind of how the nature of the beast goes, is when you're recruiting well and things are going well, you get a lot of adulation and congratulations and things like that. But when those guys then don't quickly become impact players, you know, you get a lot of people questioning and saying, well, what happened to this four-star and that four-star, and why aren't these guys performing better, and yada, yada, yada. So I get it. it's just kind of the way it goes and the way the you know, the way the cookie sort of crumbles. So yeah, no, it's a fair point that yeah, these classes have been dogged a little bit of late, but at the same time they are quickly you know, getting some guys on the field, and not just because of problems elsewhere, but because those guys were as good as advertised. So definitely some encouraging signs you can take from there, Jim.
Yes, it gives Penn State fans something to hold on to looking into next season when the young guys, it's some of them have just stepped right in like a Kevon Lee and performed really well. And then you have some of the others, like, say, Brandon Smith, who we all expected to be that breakout guy in game one. It seems to have taken a few games, but it seems that he's beginning to get it now.
Yeah, you're starting to see, especially from him, Jim, some moments of clarity where he's able to fly to the football and he's able to get to a spot before the offensive guy gets there, and he's waiting to meet him and bring him down and make the play. And yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he is growing up quite a bit before our eyes, and is becoming more of that five-star caliber guy that we all thought he could be. So, yeah, I think that's something that's worth noting for sure, that, you know, he is definitely one. You know, obviously Joey Porter Jr., I think, has been sort of the darling of the defense this year. Everyone's been super impressed by how he's played, and that's not going to change anytime soon. I mean, he's been one of the most consistent defenders they have. You know, Keaton Ellis has shown some nice things in recent weeks with Trey Castro Fields out. So even Daquan Hardy, I know that, you know, he probably could have had better positioning on that Rutgers touchdown pass. I saw that described as the first 7-yard Hail Mary, which I think was a good way to put it. But, you know, he's even shown some nice things, Jim. I believe he had a sack early in the game, flew off the edge and came in for a sack. So, you know, he's shown some nice things too. And he was a guy that they took very late in the process, just hoping to get maybe anything out of him, even if it was on the special teams or something like that. And they've been down some corners and he's been forced to step in and has done a nice job. So, you know, I do think that, you know, clearly there's some guys who, you know, there's clearly some guys who have taken a nice step over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, again, I think you'll get a lot of people who do question whether how much of that is the opponent they've played versus how much of that is just pure improvement. I wrote about that on Sunday. I think it's definitely both. You can't just say it's the opponent, but you can't also just say that it's these guys are improving so much that they're now making splash plays, because these two teams are not among the best that a Penn State team's ever going to face. So there's definitely a mixture there, but I think you have to be impressed with what you've seen from some of these guys recently.
Definitely that is the case. And in a season where you start out 0-5, Greg, you will take any win that you can get. And as you said, you know, Michigan certainly wasn't playing like a typical Michigan team, but Rutgers wasn't playing like the typical lowly Rutgers team either. So again, 0-5, you'll take these two wins. All right, as I alluded to earlier, Greg, we are going to talk recruiting next, so stick around.
To kick off the season of giving, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.